Good morning, listeners. It's Dr. Peter speaking, and today I have as a special guest Brad Beer. Brad is a physiotherapist who works at the Q Supercenter. Welcome, Brad.
Thanks, Dr. Peter. Great to be with you.
Now, Brad, knee pain seems to be very common in society. I mean, how common are knee conditions?
Peter, knee pain is very prevalent in the Australian community. Some current statistics to share with listeners, 20% of the population experience knee pain at any given time, and 33% will visit a GP for their condition, general practitioner. Interestingly, 7.8% of the Australian population suffer from knee osteoarthritis, which is projected with the ageing baby boomer demographic going through to peak at 11% of Australian population come the year 2050 suffering from knee pain / knee osteoarthritis.
The knee is a very complicated joint, and it takes a lot of weight. It's one of a weight-bearing joint. And I imagine you get pain in different ages from different conditions. I mean, like, what is a young person with knee pain under 20? What are the common conditions you would see with that?
Good question, Peter. You're right. The knee is a complex joint. Comparative to other joints, there's other joints that have more components, but there's typically, Peter, 8 components of a knee joint that can become a source of pain or present a problem. Specifically with the younger demographic, there are conditions often related to activity. So these can be the commonly talked about Osgood-Schlatter's condition, which a lot of young kids going through their growth spurt suffer from. That is an irritation, basically, where the tendon or the patellar tendon inserts into the top of the shin bone, and it often gives that noticeable bump on the child's leg. So that's one common condition, Peter, for the younger group. Other knee injuries or knee problems that present in the younger years are sports-related trauma, so your sprains of your ligaments, your strains around the muscles of the knee. And to a far lesser degree, Peter, in the younger population, you occasionally see things like meniscus tears or tweaks, and we'll unpack that, I'm sure, as we go this morning.
What about the middle years of life if you're foolish enough to snow ski or play football or do most things that people do in the middle years of life?
Yeah, certainly. In the middle years, Peter, I like to think of those really sort of from 20 to sort of 60 years. There's a combination of things that are most prevalent. Certainly the sports injuries, like you alluded to, you know, your football injuries, your snowboarding injuries, your surfing injuries. We're having a little talk about surfing before we came on air this morning. They're very common, and they're similar to the younger generation where they get their sprains and strains of ligaments and different structures. Peter, between these middle years, you also start to see some specific joint-related problems emerge. And so that can be the early onset of some wear and tear of the knee, such as some early signs of osteoarthritis. Often meniscus, which a lot of the listeners will have heard of this thing called the meniscus in the knee. There's two of them, and they can become a source of pain. And typically, Peter, in this 20 to 60 year span of life, people can incur meniscus tears, and that'll be normally quite painful and often quite restrictive in terms of how much people can move their knees. So they're the main conditions that we see in that middle stage of life.
And what about if we're lucky enough to live onwards? Do you get the degenerative conditions?
Yes, sure. I mean, from, you know, the later years, 60 onto, you know, 110, 120, whatever the span of life ends up being, the joint, depending on how well it's been managed or used or stewarded, if you like, through the course of life, will normally show some signs of osteoarthritis. So that can be everything from very progressed osteoarthritis to very minimal signs of osteoarthritis, such as a bit of knee generalized stiffness. However, Peter, it is possible to have healthy and strong knees right through the course of life, and there's a few key strategies which we may cover this morning that help listeners achieve that good outcome.
So as a physiotherapist, that's what you do. What's your role, do you see, with a person with knee pain?
Great question, Peter. It's threefold. The first role is pain relief, or getting people with knee pain out of pain. And that's done through a combination of hands-on modalities, so some soft tissue massage techniques, some joint mobilization techniques, often some acupuncture for different tight muscles, of course, with some exercises prescribed to strengthen, stabilize, and stretch the structures that need to be around the knee. That's the first role that we play, Peter. The second role is to help people perform at their optimal level. So whether it's, you know, the guy going for a surf on the weekend that wants to get out there and enjoy his recreation, or whether it's the elite triathlete that wants to not ensure they don't get knee pain, or whether it's the mum that wants to make sure that her knee doesn't hurt when she gets up and down to pick up her little newborn. That's a big thing of what we do, and there's some great strategies which are very cost-effective and time-effective that can see people perform at their best. And lastly, Peter, the third role that we as physiotherapists play in the management of knee pain is helping people prolong the health of their knees. So that can be with some key education components. For some patients, that requires intermittent maintenance type treatment with a physio to make sure muscles don't get tight around their knees and things don't get weak. So really, it's a threefold approach. We help people be pain-free, perform at their best, and prolong the health of their knees.
Many people with knee problems or knee difficulties complain of difficulty climbing and going downstairs. And I'm not sure which one they find the worst, going down the stairs or going up the stairs, but can you tell me about that a little bit, please?
Peter, you're right. Stairs do present a problem, as we'd expect for people with knee pain. So it's one of several questions that, as a physiotherapist, we typically ask patients with knee pain. How do you go with stairs? And the going up is often problematic, but interestingly, going down is often more problematic. And the reason for that is because there's greater pressure, greater load going on the knee when we descend stairs, and that's because we're putting what we call eccentric forces on the knee. But to keep that simple, it's just greater load goes on the knee as we descend stairs, Peter.
And then you hear people talk about their knee clicks, or clicks and then gives way. And can you tell me a little bit about that, please?
Yeah, the knee clicking slash giving way, they can be two separate incidences. So firstly, Peter, the knee clicking is technically what we call crepitus. And so I've had patients over the years that sound like we're opening a packet of rice bubbles. You know, that's how much popping and clicking they get around their kneecap. And often that creates a bit of anxiety in the patient. However, if that clicking, popping noise works around the knee isn't associated with pain, then it may actually be benign or not problematic. However, there are times when the clicking isn't ideal, and that might be the incidence of someone with an unstable knee that, you know, it's moving around, in particular the kneecap, a little more than we'd like to see. As for the lock-in, Peter, this often goes hand in glove with these meniscus problems. So the meniscus, like I alluded to a little earlier, there's two of them in the knee. The inside one, which we call the medial meniscus, and the outside meniscus called the lateral meniscus. And these little structures are like moons, semi-moons, and they, like a half moon, and they basically absorb the shock between the opposing bones of the knee joint. And sometimes, Peter, they can get a tear, which can make the joint lock. So lock-in's often a sign that there could be some meniscus trouble in the knee.
Now, I know people have had images or scans done at their knees to investigate it. Tell me a little bit about that, and is it painful to have these scans done, and how common do people get scans?
Yeah, great. Scans, Peter, imaging's a great tool for practitioners to utilise. And like I train my team of physiotherapists around, the key with getting successful outcomes for patients in physiotherapy is chiefly managing expectations. So imaging's terrific in that we can clearly articulate a prognosis and therefore a plan to help our patients get the outcomes that they need. And specifically with scanning or imaging of the knee, we would use a couple of different imaging techniques. One is x-rays or plain films. Peter, they're only useful for looking at the quality of the joint and giving a summary of basically of the wear and tear of the joint. So it's useful in picking up any signs of osteoarthritis. Peter, CT and MRI imaging, that can also be useful for picking up some of the soft tissue damage. So that could be the meniscus, like we've discussed so far. That could be the quality of the cartilage, which is the shiny stuff that lines the ends of the opposing bones in the joint. Similar to when you go to a butcher and you get a bone for the dog. It's that shiny hyaline cartilage at the end of the bone on the dog bone. So CT and MRI are useful for picking up those soft tissue problems, Peter.
Now, I know that physiotherapists work very closely with orthopedic surgeons, and it seems that total knee replacement is not an uncommon operation amongst the elderly now. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what your role is in rehabilitating these people?
Yeah, Peter, great. Incidentally, I just got some stats off before we went on air this morning off the internet about the incidence of total knee replacements in Australia, and it's currently around 20,000 total knee replacements being done per annum on the Australian population, and that's closely followed by total hip replacements, about 19,000 per annum. And Peter, physiotherapists play a key role in both the preoperative and postoperative stages of a patient undergoing a total knee replacement. So preoperatively, Peter, we're attempting to make sure the patient's knee is in the healthiest condition it can be in. So it's not too tight in places or muscles it shouldn't be tight in. And there's key muscles that are strengthened. That allows the patient to generally bounce back quicker after the surgery. And then, Peter, post-surgery, we do work very closely with orthopedic surgeons to ensure the patient gets back their most appropriate or best outcome in terms of their function after a knee replacement. And, Peter, patients that delay their knee replacement in terms of years, and the orthopedic surgeons often speak about this, they tend to be more happy with their knee replacement because they've got less expectation around it. Those that need to get their knee replacement done earlier in life, so maybe around the 50, 60 year frame, they often aren't quite as satisfied. They've still got a lot of pain relief, but obviously their expectations of what they want to get out of the knee replacement are a bit higher. So the typical advice of the orthopedic surgeons for people that are looking like they need a joint replacement surgery is, please go and work with your physio, exercise, look after your body weight, and delay it as long as you can. We can help you with a knee replacement, but we want to delay it as maximum time frame as we can, so you're happy with the outcome in the end.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Peter.